saw on Netflix last night a new one-hour documentary pop up on Steve McNair, his life in the NFL, and of course his tragic death and the how he got shot. And there were some questions about that. It was ruled a murder-suicide by the girl that he was seeing, the young 20-year-old girl that he was seeing, but then there were some other questions and some other people that thought that someone else could have been involved and that the Nashville Police Department didn't do the best job with it. So you can watch that and check it out. Jeff Fisher, who we just had in here prominently in this documentary, they used a lot of Jeff Fisher stuff, and I thought he did a really good job. But I really, it's such a tragic story, and it's just the worst. But I will say I did really enjoy the football portion of this documentary because I was so locked in at that time with the NFL and all teams, not just my team, all teams. And I wasn't a Titans fan, but I loved that team. The way
Eddie George and Steve McNair,
they were so tough. Like, I at the risk of sounding like, you know, one of the callers who calls up and says, things will never be the same. Like, I know there's tough teams and tough players in today's game, and
oh yeah,
I don't want to make it sound like that, but like the way that that Titans team used to just pummel you, and then Steve McNair at that position, I guess the closest thing now would be Josh Allen to Steve McNair and what he did, but he used to run with the ball and put his shoulder down and just like waste linebackers and DBs.
Yeah, I did a lot of their games because they had a lot of Monday night games with Westwood One. I did their Super Bowl against the Rams.
You were in the documentary, you and Al, and you in the booth calling that Super Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but one game that I do remember was a playoff game at Baltimore. I mean, these teams hated each other. I think Jeff Fisher and Brian Billick hated each other.
They did, yeah.
I think everybody hated Brian Billick for some reason. I'm not really sure. I like Brian Billick. He was always pretty open with me.
Yeah.
And always gave me, like, parts of the game plan, what they were looking for. So from a broadcaster standpoint, I like the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think he rubbed the guy. He was like Sam Weish for the Bengals. Like, a lot of people didn't like Sam because he just rubbed them the wrong way. And the things that we were doing offensively, I think, drove people crazy. And they didn't like some of the things that we were doing on the field, so that's why he and Jerry Glenn were always fighting with each other. And
yeah.
Bill Cowher fighting with Sam Weish and, you know, everybody else. But, you know, thinking about Steve McNair, those games were about as physical as they got. And I always felt like Eddie George was like a combination of Eric Dickerson and like Earl Campbell.
Mm.
It was that kind of running back.
Yeah.
And he was my favorite running back to cover back in, when I was covering the league early on. In my retirement, and because I love the way that he played, and he played like that at Ohio State. And those two guys, and along with Ray Lewis, and that the way that these guys would go after each other, because they saw each other, I felt like, every year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Those Titans, and then Steve McNair ended up going to
Baltimore,
the Baltimore Ravens at the end there. But yeah, those were that 99 team. You know, it was interesting because they were talking to some of the former players, and it was there. You know, they had just gotten to Nashville. They had just been the Titans, and they just opened the new stadium, and they get the bye, and then they get the Music City Miracle that year. Then they go to the Super Bowl. And that's how they blew up in Nashville. Because in the beginning, like, it was strange back then because...
They went to Memphis first. When I was playing for the Bengals, we actually played at the Liberty Bowl against the Titans while they were in Memphis, where they were building the stadium.
When they were the Tennessee Oilers at that point.
They called them
the Tennessee Oilers.
They had a quick clip of that game in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very quick clip when they were playing the Bengals in that first year.
Really? I didn't notice they were playing the Bengals. They definitely said like no one was there and it was strange and whatever.
Strange. I did not play in that game because that was early. I did play in the game at the end of the game. And I think we scored a touchdown. And then later that year, in 97, we saw them at the end of the year. And that was the game that Jeff Fisher was referring to where he put Corey Dillon's picture in the aquarium for Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator, because Corey ran over them.
Yeah, that's right. But the take on it was interesting because so it was actually in the movie Castaway where Helen Hunt? I forget. Which says to Tom Hanks when he comes back, you're not going to believe it. The Nashville got a football team and they almost won the Super Bowl. And the players that they were interviewing say that was the take. Like, today it's always like they lost the Super Bowl. Like, you got there and they lost. But it was almost like they almost won it.
Yeah, I know.
So it was like a different...
I know that feeling, yes.
Right, yeah. Of course you do. But yeah, really interesting documentary. But I'm trying to... It's so hard to sometimes. Like, I'm trying to explain to Gina why I love that team and, like, that point in my life. And she just does not care.
Yo, they used to have knockdown drag-out games with the Steelers, too.
Yeah, no, I know. But she was too young for that. Like, she's 3 years younger than me. So if you're talking...
Do you remember when Coach Cower ran down an official and stuffed one of those video things?
It was one of the... Pictures that they had.
One of the video pictures.
Yeah. Into the guy's pants or something.
And it showed that there wasn't a penalty.
Right.
No, he shoved it in his top pocket.
That's right. Okay.
I think that happened in Tennessee.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
I'm sure Stephen Waldron could find that. I remember him running down the official and just stuffing his thing. You talk about passion. That's passion.
Oh, for sure. Stephen Waldron's going to be here today, bopping around.
Oh, boy.
He's videotaping our offices.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. So you got to stick around today.
I'm not sticking around.
That's right. Tore the office. I heard you're last on the list, too. They're going to do Eddie and Al's office, and then they're going to do where Jerry hangs out, then me, and you're last. By the way,
did you clean up your pigsty back there?
No, they want authentic office. No cleanup.
If they would have gotten my office prior to Martin Travers, but that would have been some real content.
This is why they're doing this, because we spoke about Martin Travers cleaning up your office.
According to Steven, no. This was in the works prior to that. That's what he said yesterday to me. But anyway, you obviously watched the Steve McNair thing. What did you think about the murder?
I thought it was pretty cut and dry as to what happened.
Well, what about that guy, though, in the end with the gun and the armed robbery and the attempted murder and the fact that he lied about his whereabouts and all of that stuff?
Yeah, I just...
Lied about knowing her.
There's no mystery, though. It's like he was running around with a bunch of women and...
So you don't think that guy who gave her the gun could have had something to do with it?
Maybe, but it still is like the same circumstances. You know what I mean? There doesn't seem to be a mystery around it.
No, not so much a mystery, but just the fact that if that guy did kill both of them and he's out free, that would be kind of crappy. Yeah,
that would be crappy.
Well, I mean, if somebody kills him, I'm assuming, I didn't see this.
Well, they ruled it a murder-suicide.
Suicide, I'm saying. Yes. So the suicide part of it, they would be able to tell whether or not she killed herself, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the most likely thing, but there is a guy out there that said he's right, that they basically just went to this guy's house and interviewed him sitting next to his fiance, the guy that the gun came from that ended up shooting McNair and then was either used on the girl or whatever.
Did he give her the gun or did he buy the gun?
He claims that he sold it to her.
Wow.
And then said that he never met her before prior to that, but meanwhile he had this long relationship with her.
Oh,
so
okay.
There was some things that were, doesn't mean that he did it, but they didn't thoroughly investigate the guy properly. But, you know, Jeff Fisher basically said in the end of this thing, like, you know, there's some things that don't add up, but what are you supposed to do at this point now? You know, if you're someone who loves Steve McNair, now, you know, obviously you want, if someone's responsible for murdering him, you want that person to be in jail, but it's not bringing him back, and it's just tragic, and the whole thing is just horrible. And the fact that, I mean, that guy was so tough. Like, the toughest guy in the NFL at that point, played through every injury.
Yeah, he did.
And then ended up dying in that way. It's just the worst.